What up, fam? On this episode of the Snapback Sports Pod, we preview week 13 in the NFL, starting with the People's Pick'em on Underdog Fantasy. Use code Jack for Cowboys versus Saints. We also thank you guys for listening. Spotify Wrapped is out, and a lot of you sent in your submissions. We run through our Spotify Wrap for the year. The NBA feels back, college football championship weekend, who's going to make the playoff, and we talk some MLB signings as well.
Snapback fam, new app.
The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
I'm a Raven. He's on all year, every year.
Jackson takes it himself.
Oh, he broke his ankles.
A blast. Oh, blocked by James.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
For the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over.
Bryant with the jumper.
What up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Stedman. Joining me today, as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Abe, what is on your mind today?
Jack, tis the season. December 1st, we're recording. Come out December 2nd. And the first Instagram post I saw today on somebody's story, it is officially Spotify rap season. If you have Apple Music, if you use SoundCloud, now's the time of year where you realize that you are as poverty as the Miami Dolphins franchise. But I'm not one to post my Spotify rap. That's a little personal to me. But it got me thinking, what if there was a Spotify Wrapped for everything else you do in life?
Ooh.
Right? Like, I saw one on Twitter about, like, DoorDash, so you can realize how much of a fat ass you were then. But I thought about, and we need somebody in the Snapback fam, if we have app developers or some sort of, we need an app where you can log every single one of your takes when it comes to sports throughout the year. It's essentially just a journal of takes that'll automatically recognize the take. For instance, I don't know, Kevin Durant not to come back his full self after he tears his Achilles. So it'll then track your take.
He didn't come back as good as his full self. He came back better. Much better.
The year after, he did not. He averaged like one-tenth of a point less than his career average. So, no, he didn't. But at the end of the year, you see 7% of your takes were right. 99% of your takes were wrong. And I think that is a better way to gauge. And I want all of the media in on this, right? Mm-hmm. I want Stephen A. Smith on this app. I want Kendrick Perkins on this app. I want Dan Orlovsky on this app. God knows what his shooting percentage would be. But I think that this Spotify Wrapped opens the door for several other type of Wrapped opportunities.
It's like now, old takes exposed on steroids, essentially. I like it.
Yeah, but on a yearly basis. Right. And who knows? Maybe you hit on some takes and you're like, that was a fire take.
Yeah.
For instance, when I had a take that Luke Kennard would pan out, he got paid.
Yeah.
He got paid.
He did get paid. So if you guys have, I mean, we've gotten a ton of entries. I've been retweeting.
I got a message on LinkedIn.
Yeah. From Ralph, from our guy Ralph.
I think it's Raf.
I think it's Ralph. Ralph.
It's Shockey. R-A-L-F.
Yeah. R-A-L-F would be Ralph.
R-A-L-P-H would be Ralph.
So would R-A-L-F. You think it's Raf? Just for a second, really think through this. You think that is Raf?
Yep.
Put it in the take app. That is a hell of a take.
Put it in the take app.
If you guys continue to get your Spotify Raps, tag us at SnapbackPod on Instagram or tag us on Twitter. We've been reposting them. We really appreciate. I am a little confused because I saw not a Snapback listener, just someone I follow on Twitter, listen to Spotify for 90,000 minutes this year.
I bet you my numbers would have done something like that. I just joined Spotify like a few months ago.
Oh, okay.
And I was at like 18,000 minutes.
Wow. Yeah, we have pod listeners who are up at like 35,000.
As in they listen to us for 35,000 minutes?
Yes.
God bless your
eardrums. Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Well, one of the fun things Spotify does is they actually give our podcast a Wrapped. I haven't ran this by Abe. I'm doing it live right now.
What do you mean?
It wraps like our podcast and our fans and all the interactions. Spotify for podcasters. Here we go. On January 4th, you release your first episode of the year. NFL playoffs are set. Who is winning it all? That's got to feel good, is what Spotify like comment. You know, they're... That didn't feel good. I mean, the Ravens lost. The Eagles weren't even in it. Fuck that episode.
Mm-hmm. All right. You got to read me every single episode we've done this year.
No. That was the first episode. They're just good. Okay. Even though it was still hard to travel this year, your top episode transcended borders.
Let me guess.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I just heard you say 10th.
No.
Mikey interview.
No. Super wild card weekend. I guess previewing or post the Ravens, Lamar's fake playoff win. Makes sense. Adds up. In its first week, listening peaked in Ireland on Thursdays.
Fuck with the Irish.
I guess it's because the reason why that would be is we release on Sundays.
Because we're worldwide.
We are worldwide, global. Sundays and Wednesdays. It's the same exact thing
as what I just said.
And so Ireland actually gets it Thursday morning first where most is asleep. Next up was the United States on Thursday. So it's interesting. More people like the Thursday apps. This is a Thursday app. We're into that. Ultimately, it was played in 11 countries. Your voice
got a list?
Far. No, it does not list them out.
Botch.
Yeah. All right. You've had impressive growth this year in followers. Up 7%. Okay, fam. All right. 1% better every day. 7% better every year.
We didn't do that.
7% better every year. In 2021, you and your fans had a moment. Many of them, actually. 896 fans listened to you more than any other podcast. All right. We like that. We got dedicated.
Almost 900.
64 fans spent their birthdays listening to you. So
that's
on their
birthday, that's hazing.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's
that's a terrible birthday.
Happy birthday to all of you. Hope you like cake. 86 fans rang in the new year with you. I don't know what that means.
Probably means that they listened to our
New Year's episode, maybe.
Which was the first.
114 fans listened to you on International Podcast Day, which must not have been a Monday or Thursday. Like that's dedication too. 153 fans listen to most of your episodes. They're hanging on to your every word.
Ooh, that's a shit number.
No, because that's got to be a high clip. We're not sure what they play in outer space, but here's how your fans around the globe listen to you. 37% of your fans listen between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m., making it the most popular.
Now we're getting into analytics.
Yeah.
Podcast nerds.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, here we go.
Whatever happened to the ear test?
This is a good one. You released 4,724 minutes of content across 86 episodes. Please remember to drink water. Wow. That's a great statistic. Sorry for everyone who listened to almost 5,000 minutes of Abe talking. That's it. That's pretty cool. I like it. So thank you guys for listening to all these episodes. Or sorry. Whatever it is.
I would have guessed that, and maybe this is just me being selfish and biased, but like the Sunday night game 7 Sixers Hawks, that Monday episode was probably a big episode.
Yeah.
In hindsight, you making me record that episode 10 minutes after,
that's on you.
Was like, no, it's not. That's on Ben Simmons. Is one of the more fucked up things that you will have ever do to me or have done to me.
You gotta produce the content, baby. That's what you gotta do. Raw, original, authentic. More buzzwords, whatever it is. We release some bangers. So speaking of bangers, the one thing Spotify Wrapped didn't include was how much fucking money we made for the fam on the People's Parlay, now known as the People's Pick'em. I feel really good about this one. You?
Yeah.
All right.
I do. Ahead.
Start it up.
So we got Cowboys Saints. Where is this game? Dallas?
In New Orleans.
Ooh. Is it me? And I think I've said this before. Do the Saints lose primetime home games?
They don't normally. But they also normally had
they
like
did
Drew
last
Brees
week.
And,
they yeah. did last week.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But we're going to start off with a Saints player that I've never heard of, Nick Vinette, under 8.5 yards. Why am I taking the under on Nick Vinette? It's pretty simple, fam. Who the fuck is Nick Vinette? It's as simple as that. Cowboys defense has improved this year. Trayvon Diggs, snapback fam, Parsons, Penn State alum and defensive rookie of the year, maybe defensive player of the year. Mm-hmm. They're going to shut down Nick Vannett. I think you told me before the episode he gets one target a game.
One target a game.
Here's the thing. I'll bet my money he gets a target tomorrow, and it'll come on the first drive, and we'll either be alive or dead on that leg before there's 10 minutes left in the quarter.
Okay.
And I'm going to predict the Saints to receive.
Okay.
Based off that.
All right. Fair enough.
Log it in my take app. Yeah, I'm talking every single, like, that goes in the take
app. We're going to need voice recognition for that.
Or we just, I don't know, make our high school producer just write every single one of them down and log it in. Yeah, every single one.
That's true. Okay. We'll work on that app. I like the idea, though. My first pick.
You don't understand. Eagleson has to do anything we say.
I am aware of that.
Cool.
My first pick, Amari Cooper over 54.5 receiving yards. Cool.
Hate it.
Me too.
So we love it. Yeah. So we love it.
Yeah. He's being targeted 5 to 6 times a game. Now they do have Gallup back. He's coming off of COVID. It's a weird line. Look, it's the same way I looked at the Saints' 3 wide receivers, Deontay Harris, Traquan, and Marquez Callaway. It's like, who's going to be the guy? And so I'm like, maybe it'll be Coop. And it's a lower line for a player of that caliber. So I'm going with Coop. CD should be matched up against Lattimore, would be my guess. So Coop over 54.5 receiving yards. I mean, someone on the Cowboys is going to have 60 receiving yards, right? Why not Amari Cooper?
Maybe two people. Let me ask you a question. I don't know if this is HIPAA or not.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had the vid?
I haven't.
Mm. So you don't really know how it affects your conditioning.
Yeah.
So you're kind of going blind to this one and picking a receiver out of the hat, and you're banking on the lower than usual if Coop was 100%.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. I can get behind that rationale. My next pick, Tony Pollard, over 16.5 yards. I think we catch this line in a great spot. There's rumors of Ezekiel Elliott because of his injury being rested. I'm not saying he's not going to play. Right now, you could take his props on Underdog. However, between now and the next 28 hours, if he doesn't play, that Tony Pollard line is going to go through the roof. Mm-hmm. Tony Pollard has had over 16.5 receiving yards in, 6 of his last 7 games.
Wow.
So you might say, wow, he's due not to. Mm-mm. Nope. Here's what I compare it to. If you're over 21 or whatever the fuck the gambling age is in your country for casinos, and you play a roulette, a lot of people play corners, they play numbers, some people play red, black. And the thought process, and I think there's some psychology to this, is when you go up to the board, there's a big board that says the screen of numbers and the colors that have hit. So when you see automatically 6 times in a row it's been red, the first thought in your head is the next one's going to be black. I'm going to bet on black. How many times have I done that in my life? An absolute shit ton. How many times have I lost on that method of thinking? An absolute shit ton. So, Tony Pollard's roulette table has been red, 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 black, red, red, red. So you're probably thinking it's going to be black again. And that's why we throw on red and we throw on Tony Pollard over 16.5 receiving yards. And that's how you equate football to casino gambling.
The final leg to our people's pick.
Wait, thoughts?
I'm all for it. I like the trend. I'm into it. Dak over 8.5 rush yards. I am on a black, black, black right now with Dak. He hasn't been running much, but his line stayed at 8.5. It only takes one scamper from old Dakery to get there. And I like Dak Prescott over 8.5 rush yards. So
are you more addicted to betting on the Falcons as slight underdogs, or QB over rushing yards in people's pick'ems?
So I guess one thing to note is the Cowboys are favored, so maybe Dak does knee out the game.
Ah, game script.
But I just like the line. I took it with Brady. He had an 11-yard carry. When I take the rush yards, it actually kind of fares pretty well for me. So I'm into it. So Dak over 8.5 rush yards. The Cowboys need this win. They're going to need – he's going to have to do whatever it takes to get him the win. And so if sacrificing that foot, that Achilles, whatever, the ankle, whatever it was, is what he has to do. He's got to run.
Imagine Dak sacrifices another year of his prime for the people's pick him.
Yeah. If there's anything
he
to
would
do
be,
it for.
He would be honorary snapback fam, even as a Cowboy.
Of course. All right. So people's pick him. Nick Vinette under 8.5 yards.
Who the fuck is that?
Tony Pollard over 16.5 yards. Amari Cooper over 54.5 yards. And Dak over 8.5 rush yards. Take that for 33 win. $330 dangin' dollars. Week 13 in the NFL. Abe, can you believe there's only 6 weeks left in the NFL
Thank
season?
Thank God. Thank
Flying
God.
Flying by.
Can we just fast forward to Cardinals Chiefs Super Bowl?
Yeah, week 13, and the Ravens are the one seed, which is pretty, pretty crazy.
Which is the biggest indictment into how much of a fuck it this NFL season has been. And I actually think you can agree with that.
No. Nah. I think it makes sense.
How many times in the last month? How many times in the last month have you uttered the words "we stink" in regards to the Ravens?
The Knicks?
The Ravens.
Plenty.
Plenty.
But
and to sit here as the one seed in week 13, when you uttered those words on Monday morning after you just beat the Browns.
Beat the Browns and covered. Thank you.
Good teams win. Great teams cover. But that is how much of a random NFL season this has been. I've said it years ago. Every team in the NFL stinks other than the Cardinals and the Chiefs. And the Ravens being the one seed is the biggest indictment of that.
We beat the Chiefs though, so explain that.
What, in September?
Yeah.
Before Omicron even existed?
Before the Omi? So, yeah, maybe we stink. Maybe Lamar threw four interceptions. Maybe our defense is good. Maybe it's not. Maybe we have a brutal schedule at the end of the year. Maybe we do. But it starts with Pittsburgh on
Somebody's
Sunday.
Nervous.
I'm not, though. Like, when you really think about it, as bad as we've played, like, because everyone else stinks, what's to say we won't continue? Like, why wouldn't we beat Pittsburgh on Sunday? Probably
I'm not saying you won't.
Right. Okay. So then we play the Browns again. Why wouldn't we beat the Browns? Like, Baker.
I'm saying you wouldn't.
Is so good and is a franchise quarterback, but I think we can still top them. So now we're 10-3. So now what do you say? Oh, you beat Pittsburgh and the Browns twice. You're still nothing. Then we beat the Rams. Then we beat the Packers. All of a sudden, we're 14-3. We're the one seed. We have a bye.
Did you just say you're going 14-3?
Huh?
Did you just say you're going 14-3?
Not for the takes app, but I'm just saying, would it shock me if we just beat all these teams? We play both those teams at home? I'm just saying.
I could see you guys. I mean, I asked you, I said, what time is this game start? You said 4:25 on your television. And I'm here to tell you that game will not be on my television.
What will be at 4:25?
What else is on? Is my King Kyler back?
I don't know.
At 4:25?
I was going to say, like, is Kyler coming back this season? Or
yeah, he's back this week. He posted a cool little gif on his Twitter.
And my D-Hop? Absolute,
I don't know about D-Hop. But on 4:25, I will be watching.
Come on, come through, CVS, Jim Nance.
I guess Jags Rams. Got to get a good look at Lawrence.
Got to get a good look at
this Tila. Is a statement game for Urban Meyer, as a matter of fact.
What's the statement? I'm going to Oklahoma to coach there. For
I am going to throw this game and get on the next bus to South Bend for the Notre Dame job.
Okay, yeah, fair
this
enough.
This is a statement game for if the Jags cover, Urban Meyer's in it for the long run, which is 13 points. If they don't cover and get their shit blown out, Urban Meyer will be coaching at Notre Dame next year.
Wow. It's a hot take, but not a bad one. The other big game in the AFC is the Chargers +3 against the Bengals. The Bengals just blew out the Steelers.
Bengals.
The Bengals, they just bangled the Steelers. And Vegas still hates them. It's crazy. They're home 3-point favorites against a Chargers team who, like, is just – average to above average, right? They're not
the Chargers team is the same as every other team in the NFL.
Right.
On they're good.
So you're okay. All
but
right,
they can lose to anybody.
All right.
Which means they're not actually good, like the Ravens.
Right. Let me give you.
You lost the Raiders. You lost the Dolphins, but right. you beat the Chiefs. Right. It's beat just that kind of NFL season where every single team, minus the Cardinals, can lose to any other given team. I'm talking Houston. I'm talking the Jets. The Titans lost. The Titans lost to the Jets. I'm talking Titans, the Eagles Titans. Can lose to anybody. It's like the top teams at the league. Nobody is safe.
The Eagles will lose to the Jets this weekend, but we'll talk about that.
You want
to
bet?
I would do a wager. I'm not going to give you odds or points because I'm an idiot.
If you think the Jets are going to win, then you shouldn't need them.
No, I'll take the odds.
But if you're a bitch.
Do you think the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl or Cardinals?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you want to bet? Straight up? I'll give you both.
No, I'll see you in the takes app.
Okay. I'll see you in the takes app. The Bengals Chargers. Do you have a winner for that? Take that as a no. Maybe a yes.
When do the Bengals play the Ravens again?
I think like Christmas or the week after New Year's. Christmas or New Year's. Why? What do you
Bengals are gonna win this game. Bengals are gonna win this game.
Okay.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
West Coast team coming east. I know the Chargers beat the Eagles at home, whatever. But I also saw a game live where the Chargers came to Baltimore and Baltimore shit pumped them.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the Bengals coming off two hot wins after the bye. I think they keep it rolling. They're really trying to make a play at this division and establish themselves as not cuties.
But they're cute. They're obviously.
Which, like Joe come Burrow, here, baby Bengal. Yeah. Come here, Zach Taylor. Come drink mommy's titty.
The other big
someone Photoshop Zach Taylor on my nipple and send it to me.
The other big game in the AFC that I want to talk about, just mention, Eagleson can talk about it. The Dolphins, who have won four consecutive football games, round of applause, because they were 1-7, they're now 5-7, are 4-point favorites on Sunday. So without looking who they're playing, maybe you're like, okay, 4-point favorites, maybe they're playing a team like the Eagles, and they're just 4-point favorites because they're at home, or they're playing a team.
If you think the Eagles would be 4-point underdogs in Hard Rock, you're out of your skull.
They are 4-point favorites against Mike Glennon and the New York Giants.
That tells you everything you need to know about.
I'll leave it as that. The rest of the
don't even say the Dolphins are 4.5-point favorites against the Giants with Mike Glennon. You know how you have to phrase it, Jack? The hottest team in football.
Ooh.
The hottest team in football is 4.5-point favorites at home, mm-hmm. nonetheless. It's definitely Mike Glennon, long neck Glennon.
No, Daniel Jones might go now, but I don't think he will.
If Eagleson, Dolphins fans, anybody, if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about your absolute dumpster fire shit organization, then I don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other competent, like the Eagles would be 6.5-point favorites.
Nope.
Yeah.
No, because you literally just lost to them.
To Daniel Jones on the road. It's a rivalry game, division.
NFC, Cardinals are 8-point favorites over the Bears. The Bucks are 11-point favorites over the Falcons. The Vikings are a touchdown favorite over the Lions. The Rams are 13-point favorites over the Jaguars. Looks like the top dogs in the NFC will be taking a W. The Eagles are touchdown favorites over Zacharias Wilson. You're lucky. Joe knows that whole playbook. So if you want to talk about a little insider trading, just saying, be careful over there in Philly.
Jack, that's where you're wrong. Everybody knows the Eagles playbook.
Screen, screen, screen?
No, it's been run, and then screen to Jalen Reagor for -2 yards.
Mm. Would you 0.0 this game? Because I don't think it's a 0.0. I agree you'll probably win, even though you won't, but I don't think you could I don't think confidently you could 0.0 this and believe it. And believe it.
That's the key word.
Right.
I cannot unbiasedly 0.00 this game.
Right, right.
Like, just think about how, forget football, forget the game. Just think about this podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, can't you see me sitting down before we even hit record and we're prepping for the episode to me with my hand like this?
Yep.
Going, I can't believe we fucking lost to Zach Wilson. Like, look into the future. If you watch That's So Raven on Disney Channel as a kid, like, that's the Raven moment. And, like, That's the only reason I can't sit here and 0.0 the Eagles winning this week. That being said, we are not losing to Zach Disney Channel Wilson.
That's fair. I think it's a fair compromise. I honestly think...
I didn't say that we won't lose to Joe Flacco. Let that be clear.
Yeah.
If he comes in.
That would be a lot.
If Joe Flacco comes in, it's a 10-point game. Eagles are up 13-3, 10 minutes left in the second quarter. Zach Wilson gets hurt. Joe Flacco comes in.
Mm-hmm.
How fast would you hit that live line Jets money line?
I already hit it.
I finish my sentence.
Yeah, I already have the wager pending. It just is a matter of if he gets injured. So I'm proud of you, though, that you at least admitted that. We're going to take a quick
break. We're
not
going to lose the Jets.
After the break, the NBA is back. Like, it's fun. People are watching. I don't know. Bam Adebayo out. And college football championship weekend. Also, the MLB. We're going to do it all in just a short amount of time. We'll be right back. All right, fam, we are back, and so might be the NBA. For the first time all season, 20 games into the year, and we actually had a good night of basketball. Knicks in Brooklyn, great game, comes down to the last shot of the game, and then we see Warriors versus Suns. Look, it's a game. It was a game on November 30th. The results of the game obviously mean nothing. It's just one of 82, but it was like a fun from 7 to midnight, if you're into that type of thing. People were interested. It felt playoff-y, good energy, good defense from all four sides. NBA
good defense from Kemba.
NBA back or no?
The NBA hasn't started yet.
Right. It starts on Christmas or?
NBA starts on Christmas. So how could something be back if it hasn't even started yet?
It felt like it was like Christmas Eve. To me, that's how last night felt. It was just
last night was a good lineup with great games. The Suns Warriors wasn't necessarily a great game because D Book got hurt in the first quarter. Watch out for D Book as a little MVP candidate. That's all I'm gonna say.
Interesting.
But Knicks Nets, a good game, a rivalry game.
No.
And I wanna talk about the Knicks for a second. Some news this week came out. Kemba came home this offseason.
Yes, he did.
And now he's grounded in his room.
Mm.
He can't go out and play with his friends. Kemba was a huge signing. Low risk, high reward.
Yeah.
He's back in the Mecca, the step back jumper in the Big East tournament. This is Kemba's home. Kemba has wanted to come home. And now he's grounded in his room, out of the rotation.
Yeah.
You can't sit here. I don't care what his knees, what his defense looks like. You can't sit here, look me in the eye, and tell me that the Knicks have a better chance at winning basketball games with Alec Burks as their starting point guard than they do Kemba Walker.
So that's where you're wrong. I can actually
that's not a tick to Alec Burks. That is an indictment on how bad Kemba Walker is at basketball.
That's correct. Kemba Walker and so my take on him is like, I would love, so it's two things. One, he doesn't play Tibbs ball, right? He's a terrible defender.
Tibbs ball is, okay, defense.
Yeah, defense and hustle and gritty. And like, he's, you know, at this point in his career, he's a skill player,
Are we going to start calling the defensive player of the year the Tibbs ball player of the year?
Yeah, Tibbs ball player of the year. So that's for one. It just doesn't make sense as a fit, which we can talk about all the Knicks signings not really fitting Tibbs style either. Two, he hasn't been making shots. So when he's not making shots, I kid you not, this is how I would describe Kemba Walker. He's a 20% field goal shooter who can't go past anyone, finish in the lane, or create, and is the worst defender on the floor. So in that sense, he actually brings nothing. The way I would like to see him be used, because I don't think he'll stay out of the rotation the entire season. Maybe he gets moved. Maybe he goes and plays somewhere else. I don't know. But I think he could still fill like a Lou Will role that the Hawks had last year, which was you put him in for the first 4 minutes of the second quarter.
See if he's hot.
He shoots two shots. If they go in, you play him throughout. Maybe you try it again to start the fourth.
He has 18 and then.
Exactly. And if he's
missing
shots.
If he misses both, yank him.
He plays 4 minutes, had two shot attempts. He's a -6. And you know what? Maybe it's worth it. Maybe it's not. Maybe one Kemba minute, whatever. So, but yes, I can genuinely, as much as it sucks to say, I can genuinely look you in the face and tell you he's that terrible right now, which sucks. But I stand by the move. If you want to talk about Evan Fournier.
I was going to say. The Knicks gave the rest of the NBA, which we've kind of known this for a year, a textbook what not to do in NBA free agency.
Yeah.
It's very simple. You never, ever, this is what I equate a running back to in the NBA. you never, ever pay a high-volume scorer that's coming from a dog-shit organization and a bad team.
Really?
Big money.
Really? I agree. I agree. Agreement. Three syllables. Agreement. I agree. Also three syllables. Tobias Harris.
I knew that was coming. He didn't come. First off,
that's four syllables. I'm sorry.
Didn't?
What?
We traded what? For him.
Oh, so you gave up assets instead of signing him.
Yeah, we gave up Landry assets. Shamet.
Gave up assets. So instead of signing him, you actually gave away assets, then maxed a player on a dog shit team who scores in volume shooting?
He was on the Clippers.
But really, he was on the Magic, and that's where he like kind of popped up.
He was
up.
On the Magic a long time ago.
Anyways, and the Clippers weren't good.
Oh, piss off.
Why were they trading their max superstar? Anyways, thank you for proving
he wasn't
point.
On a max at that point.
I agree. 48. Look, we'll see because Kemba really was a fa- I mean, we had the worst starting lineup in basketball. Last night, it was a little better. The problem is Randall, his effort levels have definitely dropped off this season.
Oh, you mean Randall has regressed from just whatever the fuck happened last year?
Regression was in order. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the effort levels.
Jack, the first night of the NBA, Knicks fans were tweeting, wait, I thought Randall was supposed to regress. Like, sarcastically.
I mean, he had 28, 9, and 8 last night. Like, the funny thing is, he's not going to do it every night.
And attack.
He's not going to do it every night like he did last year, but he can still play really good games, which is still shocking to Knicks fans. Once again, his effort level is just like shockingly low. It feels like he actually took like the love and the hype the city gave him, and all of it went directly to his brain. I wasn't expecting that, but I think Tibbs might be able to get him back on track. It's hard to grade Fournier with, you know, play next to Kemba.
Tell me about RJ recently.
Well, he was sick last night.
No, but tell me about it before that. How has he been playing?
RJ is not playing well. Hmm. Once again, these things could all be attached to Kemba Walker. Because
could all be these players are playing to their potential. And the Knicks
we actually saw what their potential was last season.
Was that potential or was that just riding a high and now the market's correcting itself back to
But that doesn't mean that the potential isn't that, because if you're capable of getting there, then you
can. Is there any worry to you that the Knicks won't be playing in the playoffs? That includes getting out of the play-in tournament.
Play it for sure. For sure. But I think the ceiling is as high as we could have easily beaten the title favorites on the road last night. And
are you on the road?
True. And the floor is, you know, dropping two to the Magic at home. I really think we're at a point where we're back to this. We could beat every team and lose every team. I'm really interested to see how the team looks, minus Kemba Walker. D. Rose back from injury. I just want to give some love to D. Rose because I was not a fan of that trade, mostly because I thought it would take minutes away from Quickley, which he ended up playing 37 last night, which I'm really happy about. Rose is like, I kid you not, a knockdown three-point shooter, and it's one of the coolest things I've seen. He lost all that athleticism, and his handle and shooting has just like doubled from where it was. So cool for D-Rose. Anyways, too much time on the Knicks. College football championship weekend. We've got Oklahoma State versus Baylor. We've got Alabama, Georgia, Iowa, Michigan, Houston, Cincy. Those are the big ones because those determine the college football playoff. You've got Georgia at one. You've got Michigan at two, Alabama at three. Did that shock you at all, Abe, given their performance against Auburn?
No, because everything related to the college football playoff and college football is political.
Right.
And there's no way that the college football playoff committee would make it so that there could be any situation in which Georgia and Alabama play each other in the semifinal. So if Alabama wins, they will jump to one. If Michigan wins, they will stay two. Mm-hmm. Georgia then moves to three. And then the fourth, if Cincy wins, they'll be there, and that'll be your four. You'll have Cincy versus Bama and Michigan versus Georgia.
So I want to stop you there. And I would love to get this in the Takes app. I would love to honestly just throw 100 on it. You seem very convinced that if Cincinnati wins the football game, they are in the playoff. And I could not disagree more.
That would, if what you're saying is true, that would be the funniest thing that's ever happened to college football. That they have sat in the college football playoff rankings in the top four for the last, what was it, been 3 weeks? Mm-hmm. Like, this is the first time a small guy has made it into the top four. And in their minds, they're thinking, okay, we finally have gained the respect. All we have to do is finish our business and we'll stay there. They've won. They've won. They've won. They've stayed put. They happen to win again and manage to drop out, that's like honestly a dream of mine.
Oklahoma State, if they defeat Baylor in the Big 12 championship, will 100, doesn't matter, will 100% be in the college football playoff over Cincinnati.
Then why would they put Oklahoma State 5?
Because they haven't won the conference yet. In their current state, they have not, right? That's the thing.
But if it's winning, you're in. If it's winning, you're in.
Because
then the indicator would be Oklahoma State should be 4.
No, I don't.
Because
think that's
why?
Fair.
No, I understand because what you're saying.
By resume stance, undefeated team, sure, right now, one loss, they're lower. But given a Big 12 championship, you can't assume they're going
to
win
me,
and just rank
to
them
me,
as such.
If you are 1, 2, 3, and 4, and that by no means is this how it is going to be, possibly. To me, if you are 1, 2, 3, and 4, and in a conference championship, that means win and you're in.
Okay, so let me give you a little bit of history. In 2016, I believe it was. Was that the first year of the playoff, or 14 was the first year? 14 or 16? TCU.
When Ezekiel Elliott won that team.
That was 14. TCU going into the final championship weekend was ranked 4th in the playoff ranking. They won the Big 12 championship 55-3. They fell out of the playoff.
Who got in?
I don't know. I don't have that information. But to say that TCU, who's a Big 12 champion, fell out, tells me that a Big 12 champion will jump Cincinnati. The point being, like, you're definitely
that
not...
is, if you're a Cincinnati fan, like, that is the most fucked up thing that anybody can do. Like, if you're a Cincinnati fan, you're thinking exactly what I thought, right? Win and
I don't think so. I think you're actually in the minority who assumed just because
really?
They were... Yeah. I could be wrong.
Eagleson, put a poll in on the Instagram with the Cincinnati logo or whatever. If Cincinnati wins, no matter what, are they in the college football playoff?
So,
I bet you over 70% of the people will agree with me.
Interesting.
I'm not saying I'm going to be right. I would love if you were right. I think that would be hilarious.
So
on my Christmas wish list for this weekend,
mayhem.
Bama loses.
Yeah.
Michigan loses. Cincinnati loses. Oklahoma State loses. What's the Pac-12 game?
Oregon,
Utah.
Oregon, someone.
Whatever. I want mayhem. Let's say that. Bring up the rankings right now. If you had to guess, if Bama lost, Michigan lost, Cincinnati lost, Oklahoma State lost, the chaos parlay. I actually might have to place that. Who gets in? You automatically have Georgia. You'll have Notre Dame. Then the next two teams are finally two. The first two lost teams get in.
Yes. So you would probably...
I think Bama stays.
No, I don't know if Bama would stay. Maybe.
Two lost Bama
and
they
think
lost to the number...
I think Baylor's in for sure as a big...
Where are they ranked right now?
They're 9.
As a two-loss...
Two-loss Big 12 champion, I think, gets in. And your other options, you've got Ohio State.
I think it's Georgia, Bama, Notre Dame. Ohio State's not getting it as a non-conference champion.
Correct. And two losses. Iowa's 15 in the country, but they're two-loss Big 10 champion.
Big 10 was really good this year, too. Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, it was like
at one point, it was really good.
Yeah, it was definitely fake good. Notre Dame's in for sure. So let me just say, if you are a Cincinnati fan, you are rooting for Baylor and Georgia this weekend. That is for sure. Those are
your two
teams.
You're just rooting for Baylor.
Or Georgia. I mean, you definitely want Georgia for sure locks them into the playoff. Because Bama's out. Bama's out with two losses.
Right.
So that's what you're rooting for. And I'm rooting for Cincy to get in, even in Abe's mayhem parlay.
I'm rooting for chaos.
MLB. So it sounds like the MLB is going into a lockout tonight or yesterday.
Pretty sure I predicted that. And then I said that the MLB would just cease to exist.
Yeah. So that's happening, and that's why all these signings went down. The biggest one of the bunch, at least notably, is Max Scherzer at 37 years old getting a deal worth $130 million. You hate the Mets. You think they're idiots. What are your thoughts?
I don't think the Mets are idiots. It's just the Mets are kind of a cowboyish team. What can go wrong will go wrong for the Mets. Scherzer is unfreaking believable.
Yeah.
But when you take it, when you take his name out of the equation and you say the New York Mets.
Can you do that though?
Yes, because it's the Mets. The New York Mets signed a 37-year-old pitcher to $40 million a year. $40 million, I don't really care. Baseball, fake money. That's a recipe for disaster when you're the New York Mets. Will it pay off? I mean, you have DeGrom and Scherzer. Not really much more you can ask for better than that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it is the Mets.
Given the Mets' pitching history and how often their pitchers get hurt, it's definitely a bad omen. Those two is what it's. Let's say they're fully healthy next year. If you guarantee full health, that's the greatest pitching duo ever. Is that possible? Like, even if we're not going to rank them, but like that is a possible statement, right?
I mean, you would have to, the comparable one would probably be Kershaw and Scherzer in LA last year.
Right, but they didn't
DeGrom even, like, is a god.
Yeah, DeGrom might be better.
And sure, and Kershaw was hurt.
Yeah, so that's pretty special. One of the funny things I've been seeing from Mets Twitter, because I have ventured onto there somehow, is they're now making fun of the Yankees, because the Yankees.
I mean, we all are.
It just feels like Mets haven't done enough to really.
Yeah, I mean, those who live in glass houses should never throw stones.
Right.
But at the same time, the reason that the entire fan base of the MLB minus Yankee fans can laugh at the Yankees is because of their franchise is worth $7 billion and they're taking in so much revenue a year. And they are just blatantly telling their fans, we are going to keep your money and not use it. And
is there anyone left to sign? I know Seager signed big. Marte's off the market.
Trevor Story. Trevor Story. They need a shortstop. They did make a move, though, Jack, that you'll be very happy about. The New York Yankees tendered a contract to none other than the Gary Sanchez.
Yeah.
The Sanchez is back in the Bronx where he belongs. But I mean,
you know me. I just want them to be good enough for one home game in the.
You just need a wild card game.
Yeah,
you just need a wild card game.
And last year they make me go to Fenway. Garrett Schmoll makes me bet on him like 6 times, which is tradition. But like, I want to be in the bleachers for one game, and they disappointed me last year. It is pretty crazy they're not spending. That was another thing for the Mets. You know, Daddy Steve Cohen and how he's spending all that money, like. They haven't really gone that crazy yet, and they didn't make any major moves, assuming Max isn't, I don't know, the star pitcher that he is, which I think he will be.
I mean, the Mets have made some moves. The story of this MLB offseason has been just players are just going to dumpster fire organizations for a shit ton of money. You got Seager and Semien going to Texas getting bags. You've got Baez going to Detroit. These small market teams.
Would you move to Detroit for $130 million, Abe?
What, Jack?
Would you?
I'd live homeless in Detroit for $130 million. I'd pitch a tent for $130 million.
Well, you wouldn't.
Yeah, you got Robbie Ray going to the Mariners. Yeah. Like, all these moves are just hysterical this year because you've got Texas shelling out cash. You've got Detroit shelling out cash. And the most value, the highest valued franchise in all of sports, or top, whatever it is, dead silent.
As a
Yankee hater,
Orioles.
That is music to my ears. Odor.
Ooh.
Odor's a, he's a gritty guy you want on your team. If you remember him throwing punches back in, yeah. You need that kind of locker room presence down in Baltimore to turn the culture around.
You do. Did Phil's kind of
like
do
the
anything?
Knicks. Kind of like the Knicks of the MLB.
Phil's do anything?
Phil's are in talks with, we're like one of those teams because we are a big market team and our GM likes to spend. We've just been linked to every single player, and all we've done so far is sign a relief pitcher from the Dodgers. But we're gonna knock on wood.
Not Blake Treinen.
Corey Knebel.
Ooh.
Watch out for Corey Knebel. But speaking of the Phils, all these guys are getting paid, these young stars and everything, and you got this offseason. The MVP of the NL, he signed a 13-year, $330 million contract a couple years ago. Everyone said, oh, he's overrated, oh, this, that. He's now the 13th highest paid by annual value of his salary, and he was the NL MVP last year. So for those who make fun of your players signing, like in the NFL, when you pay a quarterback, it's like, Kirk Cousins is the highest paid quarterback in the league. Dude, give it 3 years. He'll be top 8.
Give it 3 months.
He'll be top 8. It's the same thing with the MLB, and now that Bryce contract is looking like a steal.
Yeah.
It was. You know what, Jack? I'm going to say it about my Phillies. I think this is our decade.
This is your decade to go to the playoffs?
We're due after that decade that we just had.
Who is more likely?
Go to the playoffs sooner? You want a 0.00? There is a 0.00000 chance that the Phillies go another decade without making the playoffs.
Okay. I feel
it's
that.
Gotta hit. It's been red the last 10 years. Within the next 10 rolls,
yeah,
there's going
to
be a black in there.
It's got to be black. Okay.
Put Eagleson. In the take app to raise my percentage.
He's a Blue Jays fan, right? So I guess he doesn't really like Odor because Odor, I mean, he gave it to Batista. Nice. He gave it to Batista. What do you got for us today, buddy?
Oh, some hockey to start off. I'm sure you guys have missed it.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw there was like post on like SportsCenter about hockey the other night. There was a cool goal.
There's been lots of goals, actually.
Oh, no, like the guy cleared the puck. It went like off the side of the wall and just like ran into the net. Did you see that last night?
Oh,
I
saw
snapback.
Yeah. Bro.
That was also on Instagram. But anyway, that's already cutting into your 1 minute of hockey time. But nonetheless, you've got hockey for us. Whoever the fuck listens to this, Eagleson's got hockey for you. So here we go. Drop the puck in 3, 2, 1.
All right, so the Leafs' run has not stopped since the last time we talked. They just got back from a West Coast road trip, which they went undefeated on and set a bunch of team records. They've been looking like the best overall team in hockey, getting good scoring from the guys making the big money, which was a huge complaint from last year, and the bottom six guys have been chipping in too. But goaltending is what's really pushing this team over the edge right now. Easily, the leading Vezina candidate, Jack Campbell, is putting up a 9.46 save percentage and 1.64 goals against average, and that's big for Toronto. If you can keep that up and stay healthy, this Leafs team is different. Brendan Lemieux got 5 games for biting Brady Tkachuk on the hand. Yes, he actually did bite him during a game, and this is funny because Lemieux's dad played in the NHL, as did the Tkachuks, and the dads fought when they were both in the league, so that's kind of just cool to see these two going at it. There seems to be a bit of a disconnect between the Caps and Flyers right now. The Caps have moved up to first in the division, while the Flyers have faltered off to around 500 and second last in the division. Ovi needs 145 goals to beat Gretzky's record, and I think he'll get it done for a few reasons, but mostly because in year 17, at 36 years old...
Dude, Jack!
That's 5B, that's 5B. I was enjoying
Guy heard caps, gaps,
yeah,
caps to the top of the division and Flyers to the bottom, and he lets Eagleson get in an extra 5 seconds. Whatever, we're not a hockey town. I don't care. It's hockey. But I did see something on Twitter the other day. Somebody on the Devils just signed a big contract. Eagleson, is that correct?
Am I allowed to talk?
Yeah. Permission
granted. Yes. Jack Hughes.
He signed a massive deal.
Yeah.
Jack, any guesses what it was?
10 for 90.
8 for 64.
Oh!
Okay, is he a top 10 player in the NHL?
No.
Is he a top 20 player? Will he be in the All-Star game?
Like, maybe not.
In the next 5 years, will he be in the All-Star game?
Yes.
Jack, he's making $2 million less a year than Nerlens Noel.
Ooh. Austin Matthews is the highest paid. Holy shit. You have 3 of the top 5 highest paid players, and you guys stink?
Okay, we don't. Were you not listening? We don't stink. But I talked about this last year.
Were you not
like
listening? No, yeah. He wasn't listening.
The money's tied up in those big guys, and that's kind of been the problem. They weren't able to score at all last year.
Abe, you're the Nets.
The highest contract in the NHL, $16 million a year. That's less than Evan Fournier.
That's Nick Chubb money.
Whoa. How is Matthews making 16? Actually, maybe that's just with other cap stuff. But I think the cap is like 12.5 for a player.
16. Is Toronto like a cool city?
Yeah.
Like, people want, so. Like, you're a destination in free agency.
Yeah, like Jason Spezza.
Even after you're just a poverty organization, like, people want to come play. It's kind of the Knicks.
It's like the Cowboys. Like, people want to play for the Cowboys even when they suck because they're the Cowboys.
Abe, you guys haven't. I guess the Cowboys haven't done anything either.
Abe, exactly. Tell me how many of these players you've heard of. These are the highest paid players in the league. Austin Matthews?
Yes.
Mitch Marner?
Nope.
He's the second. He's a Toronto player.
Keep going.
McFraud?
Yep.
Yeah.
Panarin?
Nope.
Really? He's a Ranger. I figure you'd know him.
I think I've seen his name before.
Tavares?
Yep.
Eric Karlsson?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a terrible contract.
Is he an old player?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicky
Backstrom.
I play with him in like Chell 14.
Yeah.
You know Backstrom, obviously. Fell off a
cliff, that guy.
Yep.
Mikko Rantanen.
Yeah.
Nope.
You don't know him, right, Abe?
Nope.
Bobrovsky?
Sergei Bobrovsky, the goalie, yeah. The old Flyers goalie?
Yeah.
Is he good?
Yeah, he had a huge for the
Yeah,
Panthers.
He was good. He fell off, and then now I guess he's good again this year. Yeah. Don't know how that happened.
Vasilevsky.
All right, Bob. Nope.
Roman Josi.
Are we at the point yet where we're at like the NBA veteran minimum for how much money they're making?
This is the 11th paid player in the NHL,
and he's making how much?
$12 million a year.
Jeez,
it's bad. All right, Eagleson, you got school for us?
Yeah, so I was given a math project, and I need to make a scatter plot, do some stuff, but I need like two variable data, and I was wondering if I could come here, maybe put it out to the fam.
Come here for math?
No, for
data. Well, not for that, just for the data.
Okay.
The data.
All right, what's the topic?
So, you know, I was having trouble thinking of something, so I just came up with your age in relation to how much hours you spend a week watching sports.
Okay.
I don't know if we can put that on the story or if you guys have better ideas.
Okay.
I
like
open.
That. All right. So cool. I guess you would have to put up two question polls.
Which like, age group do you fall in? Like, do like.
No, I think you can just do the number, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, I thought about like, I thought the number would work better too. And just go through it.
Like, how many hours per week do you spend watching sports?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm 25.
Think that data is not going to be what you expect it to be because of unless people answer. I actually think we live in a world now where people are just content tracking it on their phones.
Well, that's great data for Eagleson to have.
Yeah, got to figure this stuff out.
And then he's going to come back. He's going to sell it to some big corp. He's going to buy out the podcast and hockey's going to be an hour
Eagleson, big analytics guy.
Yep.
So I'm 25 and I watch sports probably. 12 plus 22.
Did you just give yourself 2 hours Monday through Saturday and like 8 hours on Sunday?
I was 3 hours a night on Monday through Friday, but one night I probably don't watch any sports. So I called it 12. Then I'm going to give myself like 6 on Saturday, 18 plus.
No way. You usually watch 10. 6 hours on Saturday.
Like, casually.
I don't think you do.
Like, it's on at the bar, I was kind of counting. I think I do. UFC. UFC. NBA.
I'll do that with you.
Past my bedtime.
So I'm 12 plus, I'm 28, Eagleson. Mark me down for 28.
I'm not 28.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, you want to do Spotify Wrapped? That's gross.
Right. That is such a waste of time.
So I'll start with Sunday. 1 until 10:30, 9.5 hours, 10 sometimes. We'll call it 9 hours. Saturday, in an average month on a Saturday, probably like...
At least 3. You watch the whole Penn State.
I'll give it 3 hours a day.
Okay.
I do not watch the whole Penn State game. 12. Put me down for 20. Put me down for 20.
Okay.
But
do you have a TV in your room?
Yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Cable? Amazon Fire Stick.
Ah, okay. That's part of it. If you don't have cable, like, and you don't really watch like the Monday night game or the Thursday
I watch the halves.
Right. You watch a half. Yeah. Okay. All right. There you go. And how
old are you? But like, if I'm not like Monday night, I watch the entire Sixers game and I watch a half of Seahawks Redskins.
Right. Ooh. That's They actually said that on the air.
Did they?
Yeah.
Also, like, if there's no Manning cast, it's very hard for me to tune into Monday Night Football.
Well, especially when it's Seattle, Washington. That's for sure.
Yeah. Do you guys really like the Manning cast that much?
Love. When it's on, I don't. When it's
I'm with you, Eagleson. I think it's a little overrated, but it's better than the normal, I think.
I don't know. I was watching it the last time, I switched back to the normal broadcast. I couldn't follow the game as well. The only
criticism I have for it is sometimes you miss stuff because you don't have the noise of the fans at the stadium. Yeah. Yeah. Like DK Metcalf a few weeks ago had an 80-yard touchdown, and I didn't even really know it.
Right.
But like the guests they bring on, the way they break it down, if they kept it to stay on ESPN2, I'd never watch a regular Monday night broadcast. And that even includes for my team. The Eagles, Cowboys, I watched the Manning cast.
You did.
I could never with my own team. Yeah,
I think that's why. Because I agree with
also, LeBron was on that night, so...
I was missing the crowd noise. Like, I think they could just turn up the crowd noise a little bit, and that would solve most of the issues.
Yeah. I agree. But I am a huge Manning cast proponent.
You're a stan. As huge as the fan at the Buccaneers game?
Nope.
Not that big. Not at the game, actually tuning into the Manning cast. Okay. So you're right in between those two.
Yes.
Okay. Eagleson, final thoughts.
Fins up, 500 by Christmas. I'll keep saying it.
500 what? Dollars in your stockings? What are we looking
for? The team's going to be 500. Got Fuck it. Off.
Abe, final thought?
Final thoughts headed to the weekend. You know what? I'm just going to knock on wood for absolute chaos in college football. I need so many arguments on Twitter. I need the takes to be out. And I need this app to get going.
Okay. Fair enough. Snapback fam, much love. Peace.